14, verses 15 through 24. Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. Amen. It reads, when one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at a time, for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Right. Amen. Let's see. Lord, help what we can, do with that. I want to entitle this message, guess who's coming to dinner? Guess who's coming to dinner? You know, last week I told you that I was dealing with that word resilience. It's usually like that. I just kind of work with it. Something comes into my spirit, words and ideas, and I can't get it out of my spirit. Then I kind of feel that leading, the Lord's leading, we work with that. So resilience was the word for last Sunday.
Right.
But this Sunday, the word, you know how to say it on Sesame Street? This Sunday, we're bringing to you the word hospitality.
Right.
Hospitality. What that means, what that encompasses.
All right, let's see.
Because it's often more than you think it is. Hospitality. We're going to look at that today. And especially, we want to see the hospitality of God.
Alright, let's see.
Oh, because the hospitality of God is something special. Now listen. I need to say this now, so when I get to that point, sometimes I need to say something so you kind of know where I'm coming from. The title, guess who comes from, Billy, if you were old enough to have seen that picture.
All right.
A lot of young people haven't seen it, but
sure.
But you know, the star was sitting in Poirier. Mm-hmm. And parents.
Alright.
Because parents want to have dinner and meet and everything. But at the beginning of the scene where she's saying all the things about him. I think he's a doctor. And all wonderful things about 1048. Yeah. The young girl that was his fiance girlfriend type thing was saying all the wonderful things about him. So the parents would get ready to meet him. And
right.
Even while she was saying these things, he walked in the room.
All right.
And she didn't know he had walked in the room. And the mother was there, forget her name in the picture, but it's Catherine Hepburn, was the mother.
Yeah.
And she saw him come in the room, and she was already startled. And he came up and stood by the young lady. His fiance, a girlfriend, I forget exactly what she was. But as he came and stood by her, you can see that the mother was so surprised and startled that he said, you know, I'm a doctor, and maybe it seems like you need to take a seat. Because you were so startled that out of all the things that she had told him about,
yeah,
she didn't tell him, and I'm going to say it like he said in the movie, that he was a Negro.
Right.
And she said, well, I think I will have a seat. It was so surprising.
Right.
This dinner guest was so surprising that it startled the mother. And later the father had somewhat of the same experience. Now. The point I'm trying to make is when we look at this baby, y'all with me? When we look at this baby, this is called the parable of the great banquet.
All right, right.
And you're going to see that an individual here that's probably in his mind trying to guess who's going to be at the dinner. But he gets wrong. And he's going to be surprised, like Captain Hepburn was, when a different kind of a person shows up at the dinner,
yeah,
than you would expect. This is it. So that's where I'm going with this. Now, hospitality. I got a couple of little definitions I want to share with you. Kind of get you. Mine with what I'm trying to say is creating hospitality, is creating a safe and welcoming place where a stranger can be turned into a friend. Creating a safe and welcoming place where a stranger can be turned into a friend. It's a safe place. There's a book called The Hospitality of God. Once you put that, I thought, you know, Googling and going on the computer and looking at different aspects of that word hospitality. And there's a book called The Hospitality of God, and the artist Brendan Byrne, who is a Catholic, a spiritual leader. But he has a good idea here. And because he's talking about the book of Luke.
Okay.
And it brought to my attention as I listened to him in his introduction of the book, that the book of Luke is a gospel that has an interpreted key of hospitality. In other words, if you really want to have a deeper understanding of the Gospel of Luke, you've got to look at it through the eyes of hospitality.
Yeah.
You hear me? You hear me?
Yeah.
So it says that the book portrays Luke portrays the life and ministry of Jesus as a divine visitor. Jesus was a divine visitor. He came from heaven. Amen. And put his humanity on. It was both God and man. He came and visited. He came seeking hospitality. Now you do get my bells. Jesus came seeking hospitality. The one who come as a visitor and guest become their host. He came seeking hospitality. But the one that comes as a visitor and a guest become the host and offers hospitality in which the entire world can become truly human, be at home, and know the salvation in the depth of their heart. Now I simplified that for that last part. And I said, he can offer hospitality that we can experience the more that we were created for. Some people don't realize you're created, often we are created for more than we are experiencing. So Christ comes and hospitably welcomes us, amen, to experience the more that we were created for. Now, I've got two major points in this thing. The first, because there are two in this, not the one we read, but if you look at that whole 14th chapter, there's two dinners. Dinner one and dinner two. I'm just going to tell you about dinner one. Amen. And then we're going to go to the scripture that you have in your hand to look at dinner two. Amen. Now, it's a little warm here, but we're going to work with it. Dinner one is at, you can see this, this is at the beginning of the 14th chapter. The fact a Pharisee, a leading Pharisee, had a dinner at his house.
Mm-hmm, right.
And Jesus was invited as the head guest. Mm-hmm. Now this is unusual. This is even surprising who's coming to dinner. Because you know, the Pharisees and Jesus didn't get along. I think it's Luke chapter 4, where they were seeking a way to kill Jesus. In Luke chapter 4. So they didn't get along. The Pharisees and Jesus, but they invited him to the dinner to be the head guest. But now, if you look at those words, I mean, I want you to read when you get on the beginning of the 14th chapter. It was a setup. See, everybody that opened their door to you is not being hospitable. Someone was talking about Southern hospitality. And they said, Southern hospitality, they may open their door to you, but that don't mean that they are being hospitable to you. They open their door to you, but when they close their door behind you, you see what they were really up to. Southern hospitality. Because Southern in the South, you know, amen, they offer you Kool-Aid, a lemonade, and good food, but when you leave, there's an undercarriage that really didn't want you there. It's not like that in the North. Folks in the North, they say what they're going to say. If they don't want you, they just bluntly say they don't want you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a different kind of thing. Now, stay with me. So Jesus is at, number one, I'm telling you why he just said it. Number one is on the Sabbath day.
Okay.
Y'all with
me? All right, Sabbath.
It's on the Sabbath day. And remember, Jesus is at the head of the table. He's the head guest. And this, they bring a man that's sick with what they call the dropsy.
Right, right.
And his chest is swollen and most commentators even have terminal diseases.
Yeah.
The whole body is swollen because of infection inside. And he may have been dying, and they brought him to, amen, the dinner on the Sabbath. The Pharisees that didn't like Jesus. Now I want to tell you, party number one was not a party about hospitality. Party number one was bring a sickening. A man needed it. Oh, we'll bring and have it on the Sabbath. And we'll wait and heal the man and accuse him of breaking the law. It was a trap. It was not real hospitality. Rather, it was hostility.
Right.
Y'all see me?
Yeah.
So sometimes you can't trust all folks when they seem to be hospitable. Some people are hospitable, they go face, but they're hospitable behind your back. They're hospitable on the outside, but they're hospitable on the inside. It was a trap. But Jesus, being Jesus, realized it was a trap. And Jesus said, "Well, I tell you what, I'm going to tell you the total situation. And wait till the total situation, you ask questions. Because asking questions always puts you in power." And he asked, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Because he already knew what he was going to do. While he was trying to figure it out, he said, "Now, he went on to heal me." Because they didn't come out, because they said, if we say it's not lost, then it's like we're being mean to the guy, we don't want him healed. Mm-hmm. Right. If we say it is lost, then we break the law and we hear the Jesus break. Right. So Jesus, by answering the question, take control of the discourse. All right. Now that one that's on the high seat. Anytime somebody's trying to trap me in a conversation, I always ask a question. Because a question puts you in power.
Yeah.
Amen. Question. And they taught us that. Amen. When we were learning about a study call, you be the one that asked questions and you're in trouble. But it's not. But it wasn't work. And Jesus did that. And afterwards, he healed the man. And then he talks about, hey, if y'all had an animal, even a child, and they fall, amen. Is it on the Sabbath? Will you not rescue him? Jesus began to ask questions. So the trap that they set for him, he used the trap against him. But the point is, it was not a party of hospitality. It was a party of hostility. Jesus said, you remember I'm talking about the book, God, how the Catholic God, how the bishop God put on human flesh and came in the form of Jesus and came to this world seeking hospitality, but then he became a host and invited others to a life that they can experience the mold that they were created for. And you see, he was constantly dealing with, he came there looking for hospitality. Hey, you're not my enemy, you're my friend. You're a stranger, but you're my friend.
Right.
You're my friend, but I'm bringing you to a safe place where you can experience great love and affection. And Jesus came looking for that. But even as a baby, when he was being born, they said there's no room. The world was already a hostile place. He is just being born, and they said no room for Jesus.
Yeah.
And he had to be born in a manger. Because there was no room for him. And then Herod heard that a king was being born. And Herod the brain and said, tell me where he was born. When he was born. And when Herod couldn't find the well, in order to get rid of my rival, I'm going to massacre all the young boys under 2 years of age. He didn't come. He came seeking hospitality, but he got hospitable. Later on, I think Luke 4, it said the Pharisees, once they saw he was gaining popularity, tried to come and kill him. Jesus said later on, most of these, the book of Luke said, amen, foxes have holes.
Right.
And birds of the air have nests. He's always had a hard time.
Right.
Being even, his family didn't even believe in him.
God have mercy. Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you may have a dream. God gives a dream, but your family may not even believe in it.
Right, right.
But you got to protect your dream. But you are the one to protect me. You got to protect your dream with anybody that will take their dream from you.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, what a God. What a mighty God you serve. And you know, I tell you how hostile this world was. This man never committed a sin. Only went around, amen, practicing hospitality himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they took him up after illegally trying Thursday night, Friday night, crucifying on Calvary's cross, the most horrific death of that time. And they crucified our Lord because nobody welcomed him. He did not receive any kind of hospitality.
My God.
No hospitality for Jesus. He's the Lord of the universe who was rich and became poor. And died upon Calvary's cross.
Yeah, my God.
And nobody welcomed him. At least not the leaders. But says many, amen, and believe. It's that believing that makes your child go. Now, so you understand. I want you to understand dinner number one. Dinner number one was not about hospitality. Dinner number one was about hostility.
Right.
So how did Jesus respond to hostility? Have the dinner, man. Talking about Jesus eventually goes on. This is the same dinner. Jesus is talking about then. The first becomes last. I want you to read the whole chapter. So begin talking about the first becomes last, the last becomes first, and all the crippled and the outcast people are going to look down, they're going to be at them. And then this one guy, this Pharisee guy, laid back, said, blessed are those that are going to be at them. And you know why he said that? Because in his mind, he thought he was going to be at them. Oh. Look at 15. When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard he said to him, blessed everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. He got out of the mind. Oh yeah, I'm gonna be there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be at that dinner.
Yeah, right.
And it's gonna be a blessing.
Yeah.
But then he's wait a minute. I'm not gonna just tell him out right, he ain't gonna be there. But I'm gonna share this story with you. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited him in. It's enough food. I'll invite a whole lot of food. And it's gonna be enough food for
everybody.
Good food. I'm gonna invite him to come, eat, and get food. Eat until you're satisfied.
Yeah.
You can go back to seven and third until you're satisfied.
Yeah,
what we're going for?
All right.
Okay, we're going somewhere with this. Because yeah. You know what? See, that man that was given the gift is representative of God. God invites us to a dinner.
Yeah.
And that dinner is an intimate fellowship with him.
Yeah.
And if you enjoy that intimate fellowship with God, it's the only thing that really satisfies.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I would say, I don't know about it.
Right.
Some of y'all underestimate that. But if you really want to find satisfaction under the skin, yeah, it's to have an intimate, a life that fellowships and spend time in the presence of the Lord. Bill Gates, Microsoft guy, says it's not how much in life what you become that matters. And if you want to be, remember, you can't do no one long as he is not. But to as many as receive him, he gave the power to become.
Yes.
It's what you become when you hang out with Jesus. It's what you become when you have fellowship. It's what you become when you live your life in his presence. It comes to, when I mean comes, that don't mean you just pray all day. But as you're going through the day, 3, 4, 5, 6 times an hour, you say the same stuff to him.
Yes.
Amen. And you say about him, how great he is.
Yes.
And when you live your life like that, you spend moments throughout the day with him personally.
Yes.
And take time with him. You have that kind of relationship. Then that kind of relationship can give you a satisfaction that nothing else can. Can't no new car does, can't no new house does that. Can't no human being that your relationship will give you that kind of joy. It's only in Christ and Christ alone. Nothing else can satisfy like that. It's like a full meal. It satisfies you fully. Other things will say and promise that they will satisfy you. But they always break the promise. The over-promise and under-deliver there. Hey, if you get this car, and commercial will make you believe that. If you get this car right here, oh, you will have peace. You sit out there in Escalade, it might be raining and storm on the outside. That might be a leak. But it might be raining and storm on the outside. But when you're inside, you'll have peace and tranquility. Give me one of them.
All right.
And then you don't realize that it's going to take away your peace trying to pay the payments.
Right.
Yeah, the payments will take away your peace. Woo! Can't nothing satisfy like being, and what I'm saying, the only word that is satisfaction is going to the banquet. But we begin to experience the banquet down here. Now, one of these days, as a great grandchild, we'll be at the real thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be something.
Amen.
When you get to the real thing. Yeah. Whatever you went through, whatever tribulation you went through, when you get to the real thing, it ain't going to make no difference. When you get to the real thing. So you invite everybody to the bank.
All right.
And then, Now, in the custom, in biblical days, in especially for the Jews, they had a double invitation. You know, a few weeks before the banquet, what happened? They invited you. Oh, yeah, we're going to have the banquet by 3 weeks. We're going to have the banquet. And they invited everybody to come. Because you're going to buy your shoes.
Alright.
You know, one of them said, oh, everybody, I'm coming. I'm coming. One said, I'm coming. The thing is, I'm coming. Everybody say they come. I invited 3 weeks ago. That's the first invitation. It was always two invitations. Then on the day of, they sent out somebody with the message that it's time to come.
All right.
So, and what this represents is the first one came from prophets in the Old Testament that was talking about, hey, Christ coming with all that God was going to do. Amen. In the kingdom of heaven. You will talk about the prophets in the Old Testament, but now that Jesus has come, and even on earth, they say, hey, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist said, behold the Son, behold the Lamb of God that came with the sin of the world. The thing that the prophets prophesied about in the Old Testament is now present in the New Testament. So come on to the banquet.
Alright,
yeah.
But now, you buy all that meat. You got all that food, but you want everybody to have a good time. You brought all the wine.
Okay.
And everything laid out. And you go send a message out with the last invitation. And all of a sudden you get some excuses.
Right. All right.
After you said he was angry, I got to see why he didn't put all that in
me. All right.
And then the day was coming. Now the last minute. A man said, hey, I'm going to come. But I'm about to lane.
Yeah,
and I got to go out and take a look in my lane.
Right.
And you know what excuse is. An excuse is a naked lion he stand up. Because if you won't buy land, anybody that know about buying land, you will go out and look. You might have to look at the land before you buy the land. You don't buy the land and then go look at it. They're like, hey, you don't buy a car. First, you got a test drive. You don't buy the car before you look at it. Before you test drive. You test drive, and okay, it works. So they said, that's my kingdom. Because I got to go look at my land. But then, the next one said, hey, listen, I'm going to 5 yoke of oxen, 10 oxen, 20. I'm going to 5 yoke of oxen, and I need to go look at my oxen. You don't know my oxen, you ain't in there, they got to be crippled. Lame. Three legs. You know what I'm saying? I bought an oxen. He gave that excuse.
Alright, gotta check him out.
And then he said, I gotta go look at my oxen. Oh, wait a minute, this Daryl may have a better excuse. This Daryl says, listen, I was really woke up to that thing. But I got married.
Alright,
I got married.
Yeah.
And I can't go. He got married and he came here. Number one, won't you bring your wife with you? Bring your wife with you. Amen. Because you know, if you get that married, put that married, had a little baby in with you. You need a repast. You need something. Just bring it. Bring her with you. By the bank on your way to the other. But what Jesus is saying, the first two are possessions. The second, the third one is an affection. Don't let any possession or affection be an excuse for you not coming to the bank. The bank is too important.
Yes.
You can't let nothing like this keep you from. Don't let any relationship.
Yes.
This is what I'm saying. Because sometimes when folk get in, if you're a believer, or you're not a believer, God is kind of praying to be a believer, sometimes you'll get in a relationship that'll take you away from God.
Right, it's true.
Be careful about a relationship that takes you away from the man.
Yeah. Amen.
Woo! Be sure that the person in a relationship, enjoy going to banquet just like you do.
Yeah.
Be sure if you're in a relationship with somebody that's a banquet enjoyer.
Yeah.
Who enjoys being in the presence of God.
Yeah.
Who enjoys prayer. Yeah. Praying to God throughout the day. Who spend time alone with God in whatever situation. Who knows God and loves God. And God is the driving force of their life and their very motivation for living, and everything in their life is about God. Get involved with somebody that knows God. That ought to be your first requirement.
Amen.
If they don't know God like you, they don't love God like that, they ain't any tools that my father God like that, that ought to be a deal breaker right there. No, you don't know my God. You're not growing in my God. He's not important to you. He's not directing and ordering your life. That's a deal breaker.
Yeah, amen. It's true.
Amen.
I don't care how fine she is.
Yeah.
It's a deal breaker.
Amen.
I don't care how much money he got in the bank. It's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Amen.
If they don't know God, they might have sweet words, but if they don't know God, sometimes the sweet words turns out. Don't somebody know God. So bring your wife to the bank. Now this is what I'm saying. So Jesus, they had an invitation. But then they turned down the invitation. You know who he was talking to? He was talking to the Jews. The prophet spoke to the Jewish nation and told told them about the banquet coming. When in biblical days, the first one that had an opportunity to follow the Christ was the Jewish people. John and all of them, they mainly trying to go to the Jews first. Now later on you see them go to the Gentiles. But they came to the Jews first because the Jews were going to get saved and be an example for the Gentiles. But what God can do, we lie. So he said, hey, the servant came back. Lord, they gave me the excuses. He said, I bought all this food. I spent all this money. Now, you got to realize what's being said. This is representative of Christ. Christ said, I paid it all, okay? I paid it because I'm a hospitable God. I gave my life in tolerant toil and pain, was separated from the Father for the first time in all of eternity, paying the price for their sin so that they have a right to come to the banquet where they can enjoy my presence and relationship with me. And that is giving me some excuses. After all I went through, after the price I paid,
And
they will give me excuses. Then he said, none of them will be able to. None of them will be the baby. None of them will be the dinner. And I don't know if it dawned on me, but they want to talk about being black. Hey, when he said none of them, he was talking. Sometimes we realize he's talking about us. Be careful about it. But most times what you do, you try to preserve your own and take pride. So when you see something in the Bible that somebody's been talking about David, something about doing something to David, you try to draw a line. I'm going to draw this line right here. Now, I'm on the good side. So the good part of that scripture, the good part of that scripture is talking about me. The bad part of that scripture, they're talking about somebody else. Now, I know that boy laying back at that table, he was already fooled, but he was fooled at the hate, at the hostile part. But he was fooled at, he was fooled of the wrong stuff. He was fooled of hate and criticism and fault finding. He was already fooled and laid back at the table. And he probably said, oh yeah, I feel sorry for him and I'm going to make it. But he just knew, I'm going to be there. But you actually trying to tell him, listen man, guess who comes to them? It's not going to be you. But he couldn't guess.
No.
It's not you that he's talking about. And sometimes, my brother and sister out here, when you're in the pulpit, what place you play, when the Bible and God speaks the word, you got to realize, be honest with yourself. Don't be trying to say, when somebody want to bow and the word of God is going to you or your personal study. Where you are, first apply to you. Don't say that for somebody else. But always and all that for some, I hope they listen.
Right.
I hope they hear that. No! You're on the wrong side.
Yes,
sir. You ain't on the good side. I'm on the good side. I'm not on the good side. I don't deserve to be in the bank. Because the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good. No, not one. I have nothing to brag about that I've got to be at the banquet table.
Amen.
I'm flawed. When you know you're flawed and you're wounded and you, amen, you want. You one way, one day. And then your next day you start to ask. You got wretchedness in you. Woo! I wish I had it with it. And you got that wretchedness in you. Unless you realize that you won't depend on him to make you a person that's better than your normal nature. I realize that I'm not all that good by myself. The all the goodness is because of him and his spirit that lives in me. And without that grace,
yes, sir.
Yeah. Woo! Without that grace, everything good about me. If I was like him, I would say, oh Lord, I don't think I'm on my way to the bank. I don't think I'm on my way to the dinner. So I need you to help me to become the kind of person that can be hospitable enough to come to your dinner. You know, I'm glad God, he's a hospitable God. He'll invite you when you don't deserve it.
Amen.
You know what Romans 8 says? But God demonstrated his love for us. That while we yet sinners, I got an invitation when I was sinning. While we were yet sinners, he was so hospitable that he died so he could invite us to the faith. I'm not in the faith. I don't enjoy God because of how good I am. I got an invitation. Because of what he did, okay.
Yeah.
I got an invitation. I got vitamin.
Yeah.
Who said believe? For God loved the world. He gave it on God's Son. Who said believe in him? Should not perish but have everlasting life.
Yeah.
That's the way in. That's the invitation. Believe.
Yeah.
He said, yes, yeah, come on in. Come with that money. Come. Whosoever will, let it come. Come with that price. Even though you don't deserve to be there, but I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Because you know when you got good hospital.
authority.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Hospitality. And you can imagine, you get to heaven,
yeah,
and knowing how you live in your life,
yeah,
and now you will live with God forever. And you're in the greatest place ever. And you ought to be in the worst place. You ought to be in hell. But God was so hospitable, He made you safe. He brought you into His safe. Because once He saved you, He can't lose you. When God saved you, God saved you good. If anyone be in my hand, amen, can't nobody take it out of the Father's hand. And then we got another angel in my hands too.
Yeah.
I'm saved in His arms. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I'm saved with Him. Because He's the creator of the whole universe.
Yeah.
He extended that kind of hospitality. So come on. Say, you need. Come. 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 Do your sins be as God.
Lord have mercy.
I'll watch.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Wash his feet.
Yes, it will.
Peter, let me wash his feet.
Yeah.
Peter, Lord, I want you to wash my feet. Say, Peter, you don't understand something. I'm trying to exercise hospitality. Because when you come to somebody's house, the Lord served in the house for the wash feet. Now, since nobody else volunteered, since all the other folks were worried about who's going to sit in the honored seat, but nobody wanted to wash feet, their mind was upon the honored seat, than to wash feet. They were faced by themselves and their own prestige and their own position, but they weren't worried about being hospitable and reaching out to others. So, Peter, if you don't wash your feet, you can't have a part with me. You can't enjoy fellowship and closeness and the joy of being in the banquet. So people say, oh, well, no, wait a minute. Wash my whole body.
Right.
Oh, no, Jesus, I don't need to wash your whole body. Because that won't be done on the cross. When I shed the blood, you already been washed. You just need me to wash your walk.
Because
when you're walking from day to day, you get a little dirty in your life. I don't wash you. I got your record clear. I don't wash your sin away. But every day you go through the stuff that kind of make our fellowship difficult.
Right.
And we can't have the closeness, enjoyment, and the fullness. You can't experience the more that you were created for.
Yeah.
But if you wash your feet,
yeah,
you can have Jesus. He's welcoming. Here he is, the God, the Son of God, watching four people who was at the hospital. Mary, mother in there. Mother was trying to be a good hospital. She was cooking, but somebody got to cook. Somebody got to put some grains on and get the hot water going, bread. And Mary, I didn't know that Jesus. But somebody got to get this stuff ready. Somebody got to put a pie in the oven. And God was me. Because Mary out there listening. And then, you know, she got more time to come out of bed. Said, Jesus, will you sit Mary right here to help me? He said, leave Mary alone. Because Mary had accepted my
entrance.
I know you're trying to be hospitable. I know you're trying to be hospitable, but Mary had accepted my invitation. She wanted the best thing. There's something better than I want to call you. There's something better than this phone. There's something better than me. There's something better. And Mary, Pharisees. Ulysses and Hall, they look down on them.
Yeah.
They unclean.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then they said, bring them unclean, bring them on to the banquet.
Yeah.
If the so-called clean folks don't want to come, and they give me an excuse, bring them unclean folks.
Yeah.
I'm glad anybody unclean folks. I said, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Bring them unclean.
Yeah.
Those they got all kinds of problems. Hey, even though the society may not see them as important, I value them. Society may not value them, but I value them.
Yeah, you're right.
They were Jews, but unlike the religious Jews, they realized they really needed God. She said, wait a minute, okay. The servant went out and they brought in the lame and all the ones that had illnesses and diseases. She said, all right, I brought them in. He said, wait a minute, Lord. Wait a minute. There's still good room. They go out in the hills and the highways and compel me to come with me.
Yeah.
Woo! Now some verses say, make me come me. And I could talk about how Christianity had used that verse wrongly in the Crusades to force people to come to Christ. But it didn't happen, and that's not right. But it said, compel me. It's an compelling is a hospital invitation.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I heard it do this help marriages to be better. I've been trying to do this. And this one time, I kind of found something that I might do a little bit of. I said, okay, I'm doing a little bit. I'm working on this now. Because it said, if you live like a couple, a friend, whatever, especially marriage, you know, sometimes you'll see something good and you invite the other person. Maybe it's on television. Chef, come and see this because it's so good.
Right.
You don't want to keep the secret.
Yeah.
You want to come on in. So you come in there, both of you can enjoy. You'll be in the come. This is really good. Again, my son Gabriel will be in the back. Come in the game, because it's a tight game. Like the game yesterday went 9 overtime. Come see.
Yeah.
Because she wants them to enjoy something. And she comes to me, she wants to come see the somebody got killed. And the guy killed 23 people, cut the head off. She's like, wow, come
on. I'm
worried. We like that. You see, something, even if you don't like what that person looking at, you got to be generous enough. You want the same thing when you invite him.
Right.
This is this woman. I'm just going to say for America. She said, whenever she went to the store, she always got, I think it was a drink. She got one for her husband, one for her. I think it was a call that Starbucks. She always got one for her, one for her. One for her, one for her. Every time. One day he went.
All right.
And he got one for himself, came home.
Uh-oh.
Well, he got the boys to
come on, Robert.
Because she always thought about him.
Yeah.
But he never thought about.
Right. I hear you. Amen.
Compel. You've been walking with Jesus. You know how good he is.
Yeah.
You start telling how good he's been to you. You start talking about the change he made in your life.
Yeah, Richard.
Now, you can't talk about the change he made in your life if they can't see the change. They need to see the change before you talk about the change.
Yeah.
You always have to win. Y'all talk about how you change you. And they see the anger in you. And see, don't see like they were changing them. You still lie, curse, still backslide. Don't tell him that you're a Christian. Let us see the model before you get the message.
Yeah.
It don't have to be a perfect model, but it ought to be a model that's getting better.
Yeah.
More like Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so good. Say,
yeah.
I will keep it to myself.
Yeah.
But I could not.
Yeah.
I had to tell
somebody
else.
Yeah.
When you love God, and He changed your life, and you enjoy the end of God, you cannot keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
You got to tell somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
They went out and compelled everybody to come.
Yeah.
He said to Sarah, he said, come on, y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all told me this. The Sedina told me I want to come to the ball.
Come on, Sedina.
It's a family candidate, so he didn't want to come to the ball. So he told me, if y'all want to come, because we don't waste all that food.
Yeah.
All that drink. Anybody want to come, come on to the ball.
Yeah.
He said, let whoever will, let him come.
Come on. Thank you, Lord.
Not because of what you've done, but because of what I've done.
Yeah.
On the cross.
Yeah.
You can enjoy the banquet. Hospitable. What an hospitable God we serve. What a mighty God.
Yes.
We serve. Invite him in.
Amen.
Invite him in. Now, not just on Sunday. Remember, he said, but whosoever believes in him shall become. When you become something, you are not just that thing on one day.
Right. Amen. Amen.
When you become something, you are that thing every day. Yes. When you become a follower of Christ, you're following him every day.
Yes. Yes.
That's what the disciples did. They followed the person around that they admire or someone touching him, and they saw how they lived, and they tried to follow that example.
Yes.
Every day, being a disciple is something that you are. You have to become a disciple by believing in him.
Yes.
Yes. Every day.
Yes.
You got to talk to him. Sometimes, you know, when things seem to be pressing down, you kind of lose that amazement. Sometimes you just look up. Woo! I can look up in the sky. Now look at how high the sky is. And how great the universe is. And I realize who made it. The same one that backed me.
Yeah, yeah.
The same one that loves me.
Yeah.
I realize who keeps it in control. The same one is on my side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what am I worried about? I'm a friend of, I'm a child of the one who created all of me.
Yeah.
If you look up, you live.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look down, you live down. Keep looking up.
Yeah.
Keep looking up. That's all I want to be. I just want to be, incredible, man, since you come, I just want to be one of the servants.
Yeah.
They go out for pay away.
Yeah.
That's all I'm trying to do this morning. Oh, come see me.
Yeah.
Come see me. Oh, come to the bank. You don't have an invitation. Yes, I know you're not perfect. Yes, I know you got some faults. Yes, I know you got some things wrong.
Yeah.
So I have anybody. You don't have to be ashamed way to come to church. Come out to God. Don't you know? It's, hey, I can't. If you come, you're wrong. Who's that lady? And I'm ready to come. It's a folk that I like you. I'm one of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And the ones that look at you wrong, don't worry about them. Because they won't be at the banquet anyway. Don't worry about them. They won't be at that anyway. Because they have the wrong attitude. They think they can make it on their own. They think, oh, I'm so religious, I'm so good, I dress so well, I'm all churchy. Okay, no, you can be church, but if you don't have Christ, you got church, but do you have Christ? Christ will transform, will change your life. It helps you love people that are hard to love. Love in and pray with those that disciple and misuse you. And call out places when folks are hostile towards you. You're hospitable back to people.
Oh, yes, yes.
See, you know you've been changed. When folks are hostile to you and you're hospitable to them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true.
They try to harm you.
Lord,
and you offer them.
Lord have mercy.
Come to the bank.
Lord have mercy.
loved him so much.
Don't have mercy.
He paid. He paid for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like the good Samaritan. He saw that strange on the road. He didn't know the religious folks had bad boundaries.
Yeah, yeah.
And went on the other side, but they worried about themselves. Oh, this Daniel could be hospitable. Because when you're hospitable, you turn a stranger to a friend. You don't even know what the stranger might do. He passed by on the other side. Wait a minute, this man needs help. This man needs some hospitality. He needs somebody to help him up. Because he's in bad shape. And he said he picked him up, put him on his door.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he walked and took him to the doctor and gave him a listen and said, "Now I ain't got that much trouble in that. But you take care, because you know me, I come through all the time. And when I come back, whatever,
yeah, yeah.
I owe you.
Yeah,
I take care.
Yeah.
Now you're not working. You were on a stranger.
Yeah, yeah.
And whatever it takes, I want him with you.
Yes.
And then Jesus gave this story. And they thought, you know, in their mind, it would have been good if it was another Jew.
Yeah.
Or just want to expect good people, you know. But he said it was a Samaritan. Guess who's coming to help somebody along the road? You and the doctor.
Yeah.
The religious leader. The Levite passed him by.
Yeah.
They passed him by. But the one to show hospitality was the one that everybody looked down on. The one that everybody was hostile to. Because probably maybe the same thing that you might not have liked them 2 days before. But when Christ has changed your life, you are able to respond to hostility with hospitality. Nobody else can do that. You got to be changed. Do the best you can. Or choose some make one to make saints. Let the love of Jesus. He's a mighty good God. If you're here, I invite you to come. If you're on the podcast, I invite you to come. If you're looking at us on the website, I invite you to come to Christ. Come to the dinner. Come have this relationship with him where he can help you and bring you into the experience of the more that you've been created for. You've been created for more than you ever imagined. He can help you experience the more that you've been created for.
Thank you.
Gordon Hall Food Drive next Sunday. Amen. We got a couple Sundays. We got to gather it up. This is a drive that we do in honor of our former chairman, Brother Warren Hawkins, because when he went to us, how much high hospitality. He was the example of great hospitality. He embodied hospitality. Without thought before our fathers from